Call the meeting to order. First order of business is the approval of the agenda. Do we have any changes, Mr. Lang?
No changes.
Mr. Chairman, I move that we approve the agenda as posted.
Second.
Moved and seconded to approve the agenda as posted. All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. Our next item is the approval of the minutes of the September 8th and the September 22nd, 2016 meetings.
Gentlemen, if you so move to approve the minutes for September 8th of 2016 and September 22nd of 2016, they should be as amended.
Mr. Chairman, I move that we approve the minutes for September 8th, 2016 and September 22nd, 2016 as amended.
Second.
It's moved and seconded to approve the minutes of September 8th, 2016 and September 22nd, 2016. All those in favor, as amended, all those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Carried. All right, the next item is old business. We have four items of old business this evening. The first one being subdivision number 2016-8, Burton Acres 2, MDI Investments Group, LLC.
Thank you.
Oh, I'm sorry, go ahead.
Sorry. I just wanted to let you know that staff did receive the receipt of the soil feasibility study from DENREC, and that the letter does state that they can get septic on those sites.
Mr. Chairman, I move that we grant preliminary approval for a subdivision 2016-18 for MDI Investment Group, LLC, based on the record and for the following reasons. Number one, this is the expansion of the existing Burton Acres subdivision, and 51% of the existing property owners within Burton Acres have approved this expansion. Two, the applicants meet the purpose of the subdivision code in that it protects the orderly growth of Sussex County. It meets the requirements of the subdivision code and the items listed in section 99-9C of the code have been favorably addressed. Three, the proposed subdivision density is less than the density permitted in the existing AR1 zone. Four, proposed expansion for an acre subdivision will not adversely affect nearby uses or property values. Five, the subdivision is consistent with what currently exists within Burton Acres and with other developments in the area. Six, the proposed subdivision will not adversely impact schools, public buildings, and community facilities or area roadways and public transportation. Seven, DENREC has indicated that the site is suitable for individual on-site septics. Eight, this approval is subject to the following conditions. A, there should be no more than 19 additional lots within Burton Acres for a total of 47 lots. B, these additional lots shall be governed by a homeowners association responsible for the perpetual maintenance of streets, roads, any buffers, stormwater management facilities, erosion, sedimentation control facilities, and other common areas. C, the stormwater management system shall meet or exceed the requirements of the state and county. It shall be constructed and maintained by using best management practices. D, all entrances shall comply with all of DLDOT's requirements, and the current entrance to Mount Laurel Road shall be paved by the developer. E, the street design and construction shall be in accordance with or exceed Sussex County street and roadway requirements. F, road naming and addressing shall be subject to the review and approval of Sussex County mapping and addressing departments. And G, the final site plan shall contain the approval of the Sussex Conservation District for the design and location of all stormwater management areas and erosion sedimentation control facilities. H, as stated by the applicant, there should be a 50-foot buffer from all wetland areas. And then I, this preliminary approval is contingent upon the applicant submitting a revised preliminary site plan, either depicting or noting the conditions of this approval on it. Staff shall approve the revised plan upon confirming that the conditions of the approval have been depicted or noted on it. And J, the final site plan shall be subject to the review and approval of the Sussex County Planning and Zoning Commission.
Second.
Moved and seconded to approve subdivision 2016-8, Burton Acres 2, MDI Investments Group, LLC, with the conditions stated in the motion. All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Carried. Our next item is subdivision 2016-1, the estates at Middle Creek Subdivision, BDRP, LLC.
Staff would note that this is for the announcement of a receipt from DLDOT regarding the TIS. On September 15th, the planning office received a letter regarding the TIS for the estates at Middle Creek, also known as the State Middle Creek Preserves. That the consultant, that the developer would like to schedule the hearing with the Planning Commission. They would like the decision made by the Planning Commission put it on the agenda, so it is on the agenda tonight. The DLDOT expected the TIS to be completed by the middle of September and that they could provide a final review letter of that TIS by early November. They have since reviewed the TIS from the consultant, have it under review. They believe they can provide a final review letter to the county by the end of October. As part of their review, they have reviewed the consultant's recommendations and regarding the TIS, which is three recommendations. It's the developer will make an equitable contribution to the Highway Safety Improvement Program project at the intersections of Delaware Route 24 and Camp Arrowhead Road and Delaware Route 24 and Angola Road, Robinsonville Road. The developer will enter into a traffic signal agreement with DLDOT for the intersection of Delaware Route 24 and Holly Mount Road. The developer will construct the site entrance on Angola Road to be located across from Angola by the Bay in accordance with the Development Coordination Manual. And while their review is not of the TIS is not finalized, they reasonably expect that the above recommendations will address all the level of service deficiencies located within the study area. And they also will make the following recommendations: that the developer will improve Angola Road along the limits of their site frontage to local road standards, which consist of 11-foot travel lanes and 5-foot shoulders, and that the developer will make any necessary bicycle, pedestrian, and transit improvement identified by DLDOT and DART during the site plan review process. They do not anticipate making any further recommendations besides the items stated in the letter. However, as stated above, the final TIS is still under review, and they would be happy to answer any questions. And that is from William Brockenbrow, Jr.
And on this, the record was held open for that plus 15
days. 15 days for written comments from the receipt of the TIS.
Okay.
That once we, after we announced that we received those comments, is that right?
Yes.
Yeah.
The record's open from now till 15 days.
For 15 days.
Yeah. So there's no action at this point. Just
so we really can't take any action on that?
Yeah. Because we need to have 15 days for the public.
We probably should make a motion to defer and to leave the record open for 15 days for written comments.
That was in the original.
Yeah, that's fine.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Deferral. When I went back and looked at the minutes from whenever the public hearing was.
Do we have the TIS or it's coming?
The final TIS has not been completed, but they are expecting those five recommendations that I read to be the results of the TIS. They don't expect any substantial changes. They would expect those recommendations to be minor. That would be the results of the final TIS. They expect those five major items to be the requirements of the TIS, and other items would be minor.
But it says here the final review letter would be the end of October.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, as Mr. Lang pointed out, it probably makes sense to hold off till we get that, and then hold it for 15 days, since that's what the original.
So if you continue it and not put it back on the record, or not put it back on the agenda until we receive that comment.
So the original action on this then was to not bring it back until the
original action was we're holding the record open for receipt of DLDOT's comments on the TIS,
right,
plus 15 days for public written comment on that. So that's what I thought that was on the agenda for tonight, was to announce, and I didn't realize because I just saw this letter now that it wasn't actually the final comment letter. But to announce receipt of something from DLDOT to trigger that 15 days, it seems to me the question now is, we don't have the final comment letter, so the 15 days potentially hasn't started to run yet. This isn't the final letter yet.
So we don't do anything.
Yeah, I'd say you don't do anything at this point. We got to wait till we get that final letter from DLDOT, since that's what the original deferral was, plus 15 days.
DLDOT normally send, we've almost got it letter?
No, and this is their second letter regarding this application because the applicant has been asking to try to move it forward. And the request to put it on the agenda came from the applicant for the Planning Commission to consider if they would accept this letter regarding the results of potentially the final TIS for the application.
But that's not what it was held open for.
No, it was not. And they were informed of that. And the request was added to the agenda
Here's my concern about this, is if we acted on this now and started the 15 days to run and then decided on it, somebody could come back and say that the record wasn't closed like you originally decided back when you had the public hearing and unravel the whole thing. I mean, it seems to me we just need to wait till we get the, I don't want to jam anybody up, but that's how this was spelled out. We don't have the final letter. You know, we're going to be creating more problems trying to speed this along than if we just wait till we get that final DLDOT letter. Because we're just setting the public up to claim that they didn't have their opportunity to respond to that final letter like the original deferral set out.
All right then.
I mean, do you understand what I'm...
I get it now. Yeah, I understand what you're saying. I think it's a practical matter. All the issues are probably addressed in this letter. It's not... But it's really not about the letter. It's about what happened at the public hearing.
Yeah, right.
Okay. Do we need to take any action at all, or is...
I would say not okay. At this stage.
All right, then. Our next item is conditional use number 2058, Old Orchard Ventures LLC, in care of Barry Baker.
Mr. Chairman, I move that we recommend approval of CU 2058 for Old Orchard Ventures LLC, care of Barry Baker, for 24 multifamily duplex style units based upon the record made at the public hearing and for the following reasons. This is an application for a conditional use that was recommended for approval by the Planning and Zoning Commission on March 25th, 2010 and approved by the County Council on July 20th, 2010. That prior approval expired. The property is in an area where other residential developments have occurred, including townhouse, multifamily, and single-family developments. This project is consistent with those developments and will provide a transition between the adjacent single-family uses on one side and commercial zoning on the other side of the project. This project is in a developing district according to the Sussex County Land Use Plan. The applicant has proposed only 24 duplexes, which is significantly less than the density that could occur under the existing MR zoning of the property. The development of this site with 24 duplexes will not have a significant adverse impact upon area traffic. The project site was known as the Donovan site, which has been admitted into the DENREC brownfield program based on the existence of solid waste material previously buried on the site. According to the applicant, DENREC has stated that the site is also suitable for development. Cleaning up the site through redevelopment under a DENREC management plan will benefit the environment and the health and safety of the inhabitants of the project and the surrounding area. With the stipulations placed upon this approval and based upon the brownfield remediation program, there will be no adverse impact on neighboring or adjacent properties. This recommendation for approval is subject to the following conditions. There shall be no more than 24 residential dwelling units. The removal, disposal, and monitoring of waste from the project site shall be in compliance with all DENREC requirements. The applicant shall form a homeowners or condominium association responsible for the perpetual maintenance of streets, roads, any buffers, stormwater management facilities, and other common areas. All intersection roadways and multimodal improvements required by DLDOT shall be completed by the applicants in accordance with DLDOT's determination. The project shall be served by sewer, central sewer by the City of Lewis and/or Sussex County. Sewer service shall be available at the site prior to the issuance of the first residential building permit. The project shall be served by a public central water system providing adequate drinking water and fire protection as required by the applicable regulations. Stormwater management and erosion and sediment control shall be constructed in accordance with the applicable state and county requirements, and the project shall utilize best management practices to construct and maintain these fixtures. The interior streets shall be in accordance with or exceed Sussex County street design requirements. Sidewalks shall be installed along at least one side of all streets. There shall be a vegetated buffer around the entire perimeter of the site to sections 115-21-8E and 99-4 of the Sussex County Code. The applicant shall submit, as part of the site plan review, a landscape plan showing the proposed tree and shrub landscape design for the site, including the buffer areas. Construction, site work, grading, and delivery of construction materials, landscaping materials, and fill on or off the property shall only occur between the hours of 7 a.m. and 6 p.m. Monday through Saturday. Road naming and addressing shall be subject to the approval of the Sussex County Mapping and Addressing Department. The applicant shall cooperate with local school district transportation manager to establish a school bus stop area. The bus stop area shall be shown on the final site plan. The final site plan shall contain the approval of the Sussex Conservation District for the design and location of all stormwater management areas and erosion and sediment control facilities. The final site plan shall depict an easement for access to the property at the rear of the site. All site plans and condominium documents shall contain a notice that the site is a brownfield site. The final site plan shall identify the methods of monitoring the site before, during, and after cleanup. The final site plan and the condominium documents shall contain a notice similar to the agricultural use protection notice that the site is in the vicinity of a concrete plant and the dust, noise, and traffic, etc., associated with that plant. No certificate of occupancy shall be issued for any dwelling unit within this project until a certificate of completion of remedy or similar certificate is issued by DENREC confirming that all brownfield redemiations on the entire site has been completed to the agency's satisfaction. This requirement shall be included as a note on the final site plan for development. The final site plan for development shall be subject to the approval of the Planning and Zoning Commission.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded to recommend approval of conditional use number 2058 Old Orchard Ventures LLC, care of Barry Baker, for the reasons and with the stipulations stated in the motion. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Carried. Our next item is conditional use number 2059 Julie Norwood.
We got to talk about this
one. Yeah, did you have an update on this one?
Yes, sorry. Staff has received a preliminary site plan for the window cleaning business for the original conditional use on this property. Staff hopes to have the preliminary site plan before the Planning Commission at their next meeting, if not the first meeting in November. They were working on obtaining agency approvals for the original conditional use, and they are still working on amending their site plan to make it come to compliance.
So on the original conditional use, they didn't have a preliminary site plan. They didn't have any agency approvals or Deldot entrance permits or anything like that, and they don't have final site plan. And then just the record, I think, also showed that they've installed what would be a commercial entrance for this new conditional use and don't have a Deldot entrance approval or anything else for that. Is that
That's correct.
Okay.
I just don't think we should move on to another one until they get the first one done.
Yeah, no, there's certainly a lot outstanding on the first one. You know, the commission in the past, if somebody is violated and they don't have approval, you know, we let them go through the process to get approval on one. But in this case, it's really almost two. You know, there's a whole underlying conditional use for a separate use that sounds like they didn't comply with any of the requirements on that at this point. So.
The biggest issue is that they want a second entrance for the second use, even though it's one property, to me. And so I think it's within our ability to say, hey, look, you know, eventually we're going to hit that 45-day clock. We're going to have to either deny or approve. And I think the way to get, you know, deferring until that clock runs out to see if they can get their preliminary site plan in is fine with me. But I think at the end of the day, we need to restrict that to one entrance, even though it's two conditional uses to one property. It just doesn't make sense that they need two entrances for one property. So I don't think we need to worry so much with DLDOT on this one. They have one entrance approved. We can simply use our authority, unless, Mr. Robinson, you think otherwise.
I don't know that we have one entrance approved yet, because we don't have any agency approvals on the first one.
I think the issue is that the stipulations that were placed on the first conditional use were never complied with. And I think that's the what we're faced with here, is we've got a situation where we have a non-compliant conditional use already in place, and now we're being asked to put another one on top of it, another conditional use on top of it.
Because to Mr. Ross's point, that makes sense, except for we don't know that DLDOT has even said that the first one's okay. You know, it's yeah.
Well, you know, we can see you have the preliminary site plan. Is that going to be on our agenda?
As soon as I can get it reviewed, hopefully the next agenda, worst case, the November agenda. I'm going to try for the next one. And I can tell you, when they submitted to the planning office, they had not yet spoken to DLDOT, because I provided them information on contact information to talk to all of the reviewing agencies.
But typically on an application like this, DLDOT doesn't have a long turnaround. They can turn that around fairly quickly.
That is a question DLDOT could answer, because depending on the road classification it is on 24, they might have other standards they might need to meet.
Well, let's just wait and see.
I don't like approving the second one without the first one.
Well, we can certainly defer action and give the staff time to review the plan, distribute it to us, and we can get it back on an agenda. The whole DLDOT thing, and you know, I think I kind of tend to agree with Mr. Ross that a lot of times on these smaller ones, they will turn it around quickly if they can. Hopefully they can, and we can have some input from them, and maybe we can, you know, kind of move them along simultaneously or something. You know, we'll see. But right now, I think we need to defer action, give the staff time to follow up.
But did they request a second entrance, or did they just put it in?
I believe they just put it in.
Is it on the site plan that we looked at?
I don't think it was on the site plan that you looked at. And
you're right.
The original site plan didn't only showed the original entrance all the Rex Lane.
That back one.
That's kind of what we're dealing with here too, because we have two conditional uses. We don't really even have one site plan yet that's conclusive, you know. I'm still not sure what the best thing. One thing I'm sure of, we need to defer action tonight. I'm not sure what the best way to proceed is, but we can't proceed on it just this evening, in my opinion.
Agreed.
Mr. Chairman, considering CU 2059, Julie Norwood, my motion would be for deferral for further consideration.
Second.
Moved and seconded to defer action on conditional use number 2059, Julie Norwood. All those in favor, say aye.
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 Opposed? Carried. All right then, ladies and gentlemen, we've reached the point in our meeting where it's time for our public hearings. We're very glad that you're with us this evening, giving up your Thursday evening to participate in your planning and zoning process. Let me assure you that anyone who wishes to speak on a given application will be given the opportunity to do so at the appropriate time and in accordance with the rules of the commission. Speaking of the rules of the commission, please allow me to direct your attention to our esteemed counsel at my left and your right, who has a few well-chosen words to share with you about the way we conduct our meetings and the way we would like you to conduct yourselves.
Thank you, Mr. Wheatley. As Chairman Wheatley stated, this is the time for the scheduled public hearings before the Sussex County Planning and Zoning Commission is shown on tonight's agenda. These proceedings are conducted under the rules of the Planning and Zoning Commission. All commission matters are discussed and voted on publicly in open meetings.